Entertainment Commission. My name is Ben Blemmon, and I am the Commission President. We will start with announcements.
We'd like to start the meeting with a land acknowledgement. We, the San Francisco Entertainment Commission, acknowledge that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. This meeting is being held in hybrid format with the meeting occurring in person in City Hall, Room 416, broadcast live on SFGov TV, and available on Vue. To view on Zoom or listen to by calling 1-669-900-6833 using meeting ID 881-3339-3090. We welcome the public's participation during public comment periods. There will be an opportunity for general public comment at the beginning of the meeting, and there will be an opportunity to comment on each discussion or action item on the agenda. Each comment is limited to 3 minutes. For those attending remotely, the Commission will hear up to 20 minutes of remote public comment total for each agenda item. Because of the 20-minute time limit, it is possible that not every person in the queue will have an opportunity to provide remote public comment. Remote public comment from people who have received an accommodation due to disability will not count towards the 20-minute limit. Public comment will be taken both in person and remotely by video or call-in. For each item, the Commission will take public comment first from people attending the meeting in person, and then from people attending the meeting remotely. For those attending in person, please fill out a speaker card located at the side table or podium, come up to the podium during public comment, state your name, any affiliations, and then your comment. You will have 3 minutes. Once finished, please hand your speaker card to the Commission staff behind the podium. If using Zoom platform to speak, select the raise hand option when it's time for public comment. If dialing by phone, dial *9 to be added to the speaker line when your item of interest comes up. When you are asked to speak, you unmute yourself by hitting *6. Please call from a quiet location, speak clearly and slowly, and turn down your television or radio. If you are also viewing the meeting on SFGov TV, be sure to mute it before speaking during public comment. Alternatively, while we recommend that you use Zoom audio or telephone for public comment, you may submit a written public comment through the chat function on Zoom. Please note that commissioners and staff are not allowed to respond to comments or questions during public comment. Thank you to SFGov TV and Media Services for sharing this meeting with the public.
All right, thank you. Let's do a roll call.
President Blyman.
Here.
Vice President Wong.
Here.
Commissioner Davis.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Commissioner Poggio.
Here.
Commissioner Schlander.
Here.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Here.
All right. Next agenda item is number 2, which is general public comment. This is for anyone who wants to comment on something that's not on our agenda this evening.
No? No public comment.
All right. We'll close.
Oh.
So as long as it's not an agenda item tonight, you can comment on it. No, please, to the microphone and state your name. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Good evening. My name is Phil Gray. I'm a San Francisco native. I'm here because I live on the 200 block of Randolph Street in San Francisco. We're in District 11. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with District 11, but I've been there my whole life, and we have some issues that have been recurring with a public housing building, a San Francisco housing building, 200 Randolph Street. And I'm here because in the past month, the past 18 days, you know, me and some other people in the neighborhood, we've been tracking the amount of activity at the building related to noise, sound systems, inside of the garage and in the driveway of the building. Just continuous 11 days in the past 18 days. It's been extraordinarily excessive throughout the day and into the night. People have called non-emergency police. People have filed 311 complaints, which is why I'm here to kind of just follow up, because I know they're directed to this department. And just wanted to see, you know, to just let you guys know what was going on there, because people can't sleep. Kids are not able to sleep. to go to school in the morning, and so it's just become really, really untenable. I've reached out to Cheyenne, our District 11 supervisor, E.J. Jones. He's the Director of Community Affairs, the Mayor's Office, and I haven't heard back from them. I've reached out to Caritas Property Management, who is the property management company for the San Francisco Housing Authority, and spoken to three people there, and they're kind of taking a very laissez-faire perspective and not really wanting to address anything that happens on the street. They're kind of deferring it to the police department. And the police that I've spoken to, SFPD, has been kind of helpful. They'll come out sometimes and ask people to turn down the music. And when they leave, they turn it back up. There's a full DJ sound system out, you know, in the garage of the building, as well as cars with modified speakers that like literally shake the entire building, as well as block, and affects everyone who lives on the 200 block of Randolph. So I just wanted to bring it to attention and just try to see if there's anyone on the on this council that I could work with or talk to about coming up with some solutions in dealing with Caritas or dealing with the San Francisco Housing Agency or whoever we have to deal with. Anyway, thank you for your time, and thanks.
Hi, so I'm the director of the Entertainment Commission. Nice to meet you. This is not this is not a dialogue, but I will just say we have a business card for you from my deputy director, and we can get in touch. We just need to learn more from you about the location of where this is occurring, because it sounds like it might be an illegal operation, which is actually not within our purview. However, we do have working relationships in regard to illegal nightclub type activity, where we work with the city attorney's office and SFPD directly. So we'll just follow up with you right over here. And then
thank you. I appreciate that, Ms. Wilma.
All right. Is there any more general public comment?
Okay, no more public comment.
We'll close general public comment, and we can move on to number three, which is approval of the meeting minutes for March 4, 2025 commission meeting. Is there any public comment on this item, the meeting minutes?
No public comment.
Okay, do we have any motions?
So moved.
Seconded.
Okay. President Blyman.
Aye.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
All right. The minutes have been approved. The next agenda item is number four, which is a report from our executive director.
Good evening, President Blyman. Good evening, commissioners. I do not have anything agendized this morning to check in about. However, I will just remind everybody watching that our annual summit is occurring on Monday, May 12th. You're all invited. I'll just make a habit of bringing this up at every single one of our hearings until it occurs. And our event information is online on our website. We've sent it out to all of our permit holders. It is free and open to the public. It'll occur from noon to 4 on May 12th. And we hope to see you there. We have a great agenda, and we will begin the event with an hour-long resource fair at the beginning where other city departments will be tabling and representing. So if you have any questions about that, happy to answer. If you have any other questions, we can use this item to discuss anything else that you might want to see on a future agenda. But nothing else from me at this time.
Any questions for our director? Is there any public comment on her report? There's
nothing. No public comment.
All right. We'll close public comment. We can move on to number five, which is a report from our senior inspector.
Thank you, President Blyman. Good evening, commissioners. I have no enforcement action to report tonight. The report in the commissioner's folder is from March 5th through the 14th. I would like to say we did have some extra coverage on St. Patrick's Day, which will be reflected next hearing's enforcement report. Let me know if you have any questions.
Questions? None. Is there any public comment on the senior inspector's report?
No public comment.
Closed. We can move on to number six, which is hearing and possible action regarding applications for permits under the jurisdiction of the Entertainment Commission. I believe Deputy Director Azevedo is going to lead us off here.
Thanks, President Blyman. Good evening, commissioners. We just have one item on our consent agenda this evening. It's for an indoor LLP permit at Hilo Club on Polk Street. There was no opposition for the permit application and no added conditions from SFPD Northern Station. So the recommendation is to approve the consent agenda with staff recommendations.
Got it. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda?
No, no public comment.
Closed. Do we have any motions?
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
President Blyman?
Aye.
Vice President Wong?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Aye.
Commissioner Perez?
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio?
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
Milo, your permit has been approved. I love that place, by the way. It's a great bar. and we can move on to the next. I believe
that's me.
Project and Communication yes. Manager Rice. I get that?
Yep. Good evening, President Blyman. Good evening, commissioners. The first permit on our regular agenda, we have a one-time event permit from Golden Voice for the Portola Music Festival, now in its fourth year at Pier 80. The festival will take place on Saturday, September 20th and Sunday, September 21st, with four stages featuring international pop, indie, electronic, and dance music acts. The festival expects a total of 80,000 attendees this year. Golden Voice is requesting the same hours of music that we granted them last year. On Saturday, the music will run from 1 to 11 p.m., and on Sunday, the music will run from 1 to 10:55 p.m., with the outdoor music ending by 10:45 p.m. on Sunday. And like last year's event, their one indoor stage, which is called the Warehouse Stage, will have indoor music until 10:55 p.m. on Sunday. In addition, they are requesting to hold sound checks sporadically from September 17th through the 21st between 10 p.m. on non-event days and between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. on event days. Golden Voice is partnering again with NPU on producing this event. The Port of San Francisco has conditionally approved the event pending final approval from the Port Commission and issuance of their special event license. As in previous years, our inspectors will be working with Golden Voice during the sound check to determine appropriate sound levels for the event that's consistent with last year's sound limit. When setting their sound limit, inspectors will take into consideration the closest sensitive receptors and work with Golden Voice to determine mitigation efforts by the areas most impacted by sound. In terms of complaint data from last year, I want to give you a quick refresher on the numbers based on Director Weiland's recap from last October, which is also in your folder. Last year, Golden Voice and the EC received a combined total of 224 complaints, with 200 of those complaints received on Sunday. Of the total number of complaints, 144 were from people in San Francisco, and 80 were from people in City of Alameda and the East Bay. This was a 61% reduction in the number of Alameda/eBay complaints compared to 2023. We attribute this reduction in complaints to a combination of sound mitigation efforts and weather conditions moving in a different pattern that resulted in more calls coming from San Francisco last year. With last year's complaint data in mind, EC staff have been working closely with Golden Voice and NPU to proactively address potential sound impacts and make further improvements in sound mitigation for this year's event. Golden Voice will share these plans in detail with you shortly. To recap from Director Weiland's report, EC staff believe that Portola worked very hard last year to strengthen the lines of communication with neighbors. They constantly monitored their overall impact on the community and took extra care to ensure that festival sound remained compliant with limits for both counties by measuring decibel levels both on-site and across the surrounding areas. Like previous events, the permit holder will have a hotline and call center available for the public to call and speak with a person in real time about any questions or concerns. And the call center staff will communicate complaints to festival staff who are managing sound to adjust sound levels as needed. There will be five sound monitoring terminals to take ongoing sound measurements during sound checks and the event itself. Three monitors will be set up in San Francisco, and two terminals will be located in Alameda. So you'll see in your folder their permit application, their slide deck with an overview of the event. They're also going to show that tonight. Their draft sound plan, their draft security plan. I've also passed out their site map up there. You'll see that in front of you. Also their neighborhood outreach letter and their map. And then lastly, a support email from the Port of San Francisco. Golden Voice delivered neighborhood outreach letters to residents and businesses in the surrounding neighborhood and various impacted neighborhoods citywide, as well as to City of Alameda. To date, the EC has not received any complaints about this permit application. SFPD Bayview Station did not provide any recommendations for this permit, so we assume they have no issues with this permit. Just one final note that the port responded that they do not have a recommendation for this permit. However, they wanted to share some concerns raised by the port's Southern Advisory Committee meeting on December 4th of last year. We were told at the meeting a few members of the committee and some members of the public requested ending the event at 10 p.m. on Sunday night instead of 10:45 p.m. due to sound impacts. Staff are recommending conditional approval with the specific conditions listed in the memo. And finally, here to speak with you tonight is Aaron Bilbo from Golden Voice.
Sorry, we also have Tim Lay, who's going to open us up a little bit.
Hi, commissioners. My name is Tim Lay. I'm one of the festival directors at Golden Voice. I'm the festival director for Portola. Can't believe I'm back for a fourth year in front of y'all. I recognize a lot of you up there. Over the past 3 years, I feel like we've worked really hard to take in all of the feedback to make Portola someplace that's really special for San Francisco. And from day one, our goal has been to just bring something to the city that brings people together, contributes to the local economy, and really highlights Danny's great musical tastes. We've worked hand-in-hand with city officials, neighborhood groups, and the public safety teams to ensure that Portola is something that the city can be proud of and look forward to every year. And I think Golden Voices and NPU are continuing to double down on the commitment to take in all the feedback and refine our operation. So really excited for Aaron to share the plans that we have, and really excited to continue working on this together. Thanks, y'all.
So I will just open by reiterating everything that Tim just said. We're really excited to be here tonight. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you all. Dylan mentioned that you all have a site plan that is printed out. There are no major changes from last year to this year, so I'm not going to run through that. But if you have any questions about that, I'm happy to address them once we get through the rest of this presentation, because there's quite a bit of information. So starting out, just going to go through our fast facts. The dates that we are going to be on Pier 80 are a week earlier than our previous years, because our festival is happening a week earlier than previous years. And we have shifted those dates to mitigate crossover with other major events in the city. So we will be out there from September 11th through September 24th, with the actual event dates happening on Saturday, September 20th, and Sunday, September 21st. Our event hours will remain the same as last year, 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. with all outdoor noise ending by 10:45 p.m. on Sunday, as Dylan outlined. Sound checks will be happening sporadically between Wednesday and Friday the week before, between the hours of 12 p.m. and 10 p.m., and then on the actual show days between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. We are expecting a capacity of 40,000 patrons per day. We will again be a 21 plus festival, and our expected demographic is 27 to 35. I'm just going to run through some highlights of our community engagement. We started our outreach this year earlier than any other year, because this is happening earlier than any other year. So we started out with our email to the Portola neighbors list that we have, also communicating with the city of Alameda, and we physically flyered throughout Dogpatch, Bayview, Noe Valley, Twin Peaks, Potrero Hill, Hunters Point, and other neighborhoods that we knew are impacted by sound. We will have our community hotline active during the actual event, during sound checks, and then after the event for at least 2 days. Additionally, we have our info@Portola email address that is already active. It will remain active through the event and then after the event as well. We hosted a career exploration program last year called Industry Insights. We had a great success with that again. It's our second year, and we will plan to do that again as well this year. We do that in partnership with AG's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Group, Golden Voice, NPU, and the Midway. We had 35 participants from SF State, University of San Francisco, Follow the Music, some folks from our hiring fairs from past years, and other Bay Area colleges and organizations. We will also plan to have another virtual hiring fair. We've had great success with that the past 2 years as well. We have our call center last year and the year prior was fully staffed by that hiring fair. And additionally, our box offices and guest services are predominantly staffed by that fair. We have a couple of things that we're working on this year as far as nonprofits. We're starting conversations with the Affordability Project as well as the City Surf Project. We also have 50% of our food and beverage vendors on site are local. We are working on expanding that and expanding the opportunity for folks to be on site, working with the the Dog Patch Business Association, as well as Economic Development on 3rd, for kind of the hyper local vendors that are close to site. We have also expanded our neighborhood cleaning every year as far as our radius goes, and we'll plan to address any pre-show concerns as we go forward with that as well. Just to kind of highlight that this is a local festival, 90% of our attendees are from within 50 miles of San Francisco. And so to additionally give those folks other things to do leading up to the festival, we have our Portola Week shows. We had 23 shows across 12 venues throughout San Francisco the week leading up to the festival, and we plan to continue expanding that program as well. Harm reduction I'll actually touch on in just a second as well in a little bit more detail. We also really worked hard on expanding our sustainability initiatives. This past year, very exciting for all of us at Golden Voice, was our first battery-powered stage. We have also expanded our greening and waste reduction, working with A to Z Cleaning, Green Mary, and Our World on their reusable cup program. For food sustainability, also offering plant-based options for many of the local vendors and any other food and beverage vendors we have on site, and encouraging eco-friendly transportation in partnership with SF MTA, Muni, BART, Caltrain, and the SF Bicycle Coalition as well. A quick security overview. I think that most of this is probably in your packet already, but just to kind of highlight, we will have one security staff per 100 patrons. For our entry screening, as I mentioned, we are a 21 and up festival, so we will be checking IDs at the entrance. They will also go through a bag search and then scan before their actual ticket gets scanned. And for safety signage, we work really closely with San Francisco Port Fire and San Francisco PD on our emergency exit signage, as well as message boards placed throughout the venue and outside of the venue. We also work with them on communication as far as overall site with coordinated alerts via radio or PA, video screens, or mobile messaging. Talking about the harm reduction, we have a main medical tent as well as satellite tents that are across the venue. We have multiple hydration stations across the site for reusable water bottles. We will also have our medical vendor provided with ALS and BLS. And then for overdose prevention, our medical vendor will have Narcan on site, but we also work really closely with End Overdose, who also provides Narcan, but they will also train folks on how to actually administer Narcan in the event that it needs to happen. Getting into sound mitigation.
We will, again, now for the third year, be working with Dave Ratt for our sound system design. He will also work closely with the Aravu Group, who this is also their third year, working on the DB monitors that Dylan mentioned. We'll have those five stationaries. We added the dedicated roaming DB monitor last year. We will, again, plan to have that in place. And we're very proud, again, that we got most of the complaints directly to our call center versus going to 311, so that helps us collect better data. We received no complaints on Friday, minimal complaints on Saturday, and the majority of complaints on Sunday after 6 p.m. And then I'll just quickly go through our noise complaint process. This hasn't changed much from last year, but we work closely with everyone here, of course, but we are able to get direct messaging to 311 to direct folks to our call center instead of 311. In the event that they want to place it through 311, they can, but we prefer them come to our call center where they will be able to talk with a person in real time, and that person will be able to collect some data from them so that we can move forward in the mitigation process. So that is their location, what type of sound they're hearing, and then follow-up contact in the event that we need to follow up with them. If necessary, we have the roaming DB reader who can go to that location and take a specific reading. In the event that we already have a stationary monitor at that location, we can take a reading from there. Those details are then reported to our community relations specialist and the Aravu group, who are actually all in the same room as the call center. And then that is all directed to our director of production, who works then with Dave Ratt on the next steps for actually mitigating the issue. So that next step is identifying the source stage. And once we've done that, we can look at what type of sound they were hearing, determine the frequency that we need to adjust. And last year, we had a lot of success in being able to either adjust volumes or redirect steering throughout speakers on the site at different stages. So I'll leave it up on this recap. I did not touch on our traffic plan. I do have additional slides on that if anybody wants me to run through it or if there are any questions, but I know that was a lot of information, so wanted to make sure that we had some time for questions and concerns.
Two pieces, one on behalf of my friends who live in Alameda, from whom I hear about this. In addition to conversations with the city of Alameda, are you able to put information in Alameda Post and other media in Alameda?
Alameda Post has typically taken the post from the city of Alameda and posted it. That being said, I'm happy to get in touch with them directly to give them the information as well.
Thank you. Hopefully that will keep me from having to hear from my people in Alameda who I love dearly. yes. The second one is around the harm reduction plan. So I am very happy that Golden Voice has done a 180 on this and is going to have naloxone on site. So thank you for that, and I appreciate that. I did note in your security plan, however, there's an item labeled illegal drugs, and it includes a statement that employees should not touch the patron or handle any suspected narcotics to avoid possible exposure or contamination. And I just want to be really, really clear that there is no danger to touching somebody who is overdosing. You cannot in any way become contaminated or exposed to drugs by touching them, and certainly not by touching a person who's overdosing. So you might want to talk to your medical and emergency staff about that and rethink how that is worded, because I think that might leave people in unnecessary danger.
Definitely. I was about to say, I'll get with them on the wording, because that is also in direct contradiction with our training from End Overdose.
Exactly.
I will get with them on how that's worded, most definitely.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
More questions? Oh, hi, Al.
Hello.
Hello.
Coming in. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
So I have a couple of questions. I appreciate that there's 61% reduction of noise complaints from last year, so thank you for that. My question is, what were some of your learnings, your takeaway, based on what you learned or what the noise complaints were from last year?
Yes. So lots of takeaways. One of the bigger ones was moving the crane stage the way that we did, so reorienting it so that it was not directed out towards the water, but directed basically so that the as much as possible we could terminate sound against the other shed on site. We also had multiple shipping containers that we placed around that stage, knowing that it is a big producer of sound on site, and we were able to kind of buffer that from hitting out against the water as well. Additionally, in the warehouse, we added some acoustic blanketing, so instead of having the sound louder in the warehouse, we were able to kind of contain that and make it more effective within the actual space. We also increased our delay towers for the crane stage and I believe the warehouse stage. If we didn't increase delays, then it was definitely speakers throughout the warehouse. So again, to just kind of disperse so that we're able to control it a little bit better. Those are kind of the biggest ones. And I mentioned to Maggie and the staff that, you know, our sound plan is still a draft, but we're only taking steps forward. So anything that we did this past year, you can expect that that will be happening. And then additionally, we will be improving on those learnings that we took from last year as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Next question is, what's your average response time by the time you receive the complaint? Are you able to make attempt to make a fix?
It's an interesting question because it kind of depends on what the actual issue is. And I would say once we have it, we're immediately texting and or calling and or talking in person to the director of production and then additionally Dave Ratt. He spends a lot of time in the call center area because he is also very concerned. And so I would say by the time, once we receive it, it's about, you know, 30 seconds to a minute before we're trying to think through what the mitigation efforts will be. I think that once we get to that step, it can take, you know, upwards of 10 to 15 minutes for us to kind of like work through what the actual mitigation strategy will be. That can be way shorter if it's something that we can just quickly kind of re-steer or quickly turn down, but just kind of thinking on the higher end, I think that was kind of the highest end that I saw where we were kind of going back and saying, okay, well, what's different? Where are we at? So, yeah.
And since you have multiple stages, how are you able to kind of figure out which stage to...
So that is one thing that we're looking at right now, because while we can tell relatively well with our reader at front of house for our main stage where the potential issue will be, something that we're talking about is actually putting readers at all of the front of houses for all of the stages so that we can more specifically dial that in. But it's really just communicating between when we're getting the complaint and then talking to each stage has its own stage manager in addition to our director of production. So it's also just getting those folks all in the same loop and then continuing the conversation stage by stage with that person.
So yeah, we have a way to communicate to all the stage managers at the same time saying, hey, we have this complaint.
Can Correct.
You check your levels.
Exactly.
All right. All right. Thanks, yeah. Aaron.
Group texts mostly.
Have you identified why most of the complaints come in on Sundays? Is it just because people are home and it's Sunday evening, do you think, or is there some difference?
So I think that is a part of it. Just being totally honest, but I think that additionally, we have seen on Sunday both years, the weather changes and it gets a lot colder and the sound just travels so much easier. With the temperatures, we've also kind of seen a shift with how the wind flows and just generally how the weather reacts or how the sound then reacts to the weather. And unfortunately, just Sunday, the past 2 years, that has been the case. But again, I think that, you know, we can't say that people being home on Sunday and that it being a school night or a work night is not a factor as well.
And just one other thing, that this is something I said last year, but I just want to reiterate that these end times should be hard end times, because I know lots of people, you know, they look at the schedule and they sort of plan on it being over.
100%. Absolutely. And I think something else that I can't remember specifically off the top of my head if we included last year, but our main stage goes down at 10 p.m. And once the main stage goes down, we see a drop in the calls. So I think that that's also a huge thing that maybe if we highlight that, that could also help mitigate the folks that are like, when is it going to end? Because there is an end time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Definitely.
I just want to say thanks for taking the date into consideration. When I saw this on the agenda, I said, oh, no, this is the one that's the same day as the Harley Strickley Bluegrass, which just spreads city resources, spreads the public safety resources,
totally.
Spreads SFMTA resources. So thank you for taking that date into consideration along with the other events. I would say generally in the city, we're talking about fog, but also it happens to be our summer season in September. So I prepare for the hydration stations. Sometimes I know a lot of times when people have a medical problem, it sometimes relates to being dehydrated.
Totally.
And then, and also I appreciate your team coming out on bank, shows us that it's important and also allows them to hear us from us directly so that it's in their minds during the event. So thank you.
Definitely. They love being here.
Thank you for coming out.
I don't have any questions, so you can have a seat, and we will open this up for public comment. Let's start in the room. Yeah? Is anybody here in the room? Would you like to comment on this? Okay, let's switch to the phones.
All right, so looking at Zoom, we have one hand raised. I'm going to bring in William Holtzman. So, William, if you can hear me, please unmute yourself, and you have 3 minutes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Bill Holtzman, and I live in Corona Heights, which is exactly 3.5 miles away from the concert venue. Year for year, we hear about actions that might fix the sound issues, but we all receive just cynical PR. I used to work for the biggest PR agency in the world, and I can tell you that everything that comes out of this organization is classic propaganda. The agenda is clear: promise anything, stall for time, and hope you can squeak out yet another year to harvest profits. You've heard about the 311 complaints, but I would submit that the arrangement where people are being routed directly into the Golden Voice hotline is dubious. You're getting filtered results from the organization that has a vested interest. It's like hiring the fox to protect the chicken coop. And despite this dodgy deal, 224 noise complaints were still registered. I believe this is something like 20% less than the all-time high, which was also set by Golden Voice. During the last festival, I called 311 and ended up speaking with your propaganda team. They sent someone to my home that would make things better, but I didn't hold my breath and I never heard back from them. Please understand, low-level sounds or bass can be heard, but more importantly, you can feel them in the gut. I can feel them at all three levels of my house. Even the rooms without exterior windows still experience the boom, boom, boom. And this also happens in other parts of the Bay. Last year, the Chronicle quoted Marianne Orr in Alameda saying, "It was shaking the windows and vibrating the house." In my case, relief finally came at 10:53 on Sunday night when I texted the organization saying, "Now I can go to bed." And all this so Golden Voice can charge $239 a ticket and sell gallons of booze. I have lived in this community for more than 30 years and never experienced anything like this. Outer Lands, Strictly Bluegrass, Castro Fair, no problem. 3 years ago, your first festival was a total disaster, and the noise complaints included three headlines: SF Portola's Music Festival caused noise complaints, SF Portola Festival criticized over noise and crowd control, and from SF Gate, my favorite, the good, the bad, and the very ugly of San Francisco Portola Fest. Make no mistake, nothing has improved. This is noise pollution at its worst. And like all polluters, they stand up and say, "Not me, don't blame me." This is right out of the cigarette lobby or big oil. I'm asking the Entertainment Commission to deny this permit request. Why? I just want to be left alone. And if this event proceeds, at the very least, the sponsors must be required to pay for an independent.
Bill, sorry to cut you off. Your 3 minutes is up. Thank you very
much.
That's
fine. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, I am looking at Zoom, and I do not see any other hands raised.
All right.
Wait, we got one. Okay, Evan Terry, I'm going to bring you in right now. Evan, if you can hear us, please unmute yourself, and you have 3 minutes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say how instrumental Portola and Golden Voice has been. I've been here my entire life for 37 years in July, and I just want to say how amazing they've done at providing a soundstage for people of my generation in the city. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I don't see any other hands raised, so.
All right. I'm going to close public comment.
Yeah.
Discussion. Thoughts?
I feel that Golden Voice has been pretty thorough on a lot of different aspects of the festival, and I am seeing that they are taking feedback from the previous years, which we really appreciate.
That's right. I think the trajectory is good. Complaints are down. They've taken those lessons learned, and they're doing their homework. And our mandate as a commission isn't just to regulate, but also to promote entertainment. They're doing a great job helping us with that second part. And I really appreciate the energy, vitality, economic activity they've helped bring to the city through this important event, and also great curation.
I'm just going to take issue with one thing that the first caller said, which is that the other events don't create noise around, which maybe not in Corona Heights, but I live right next to Golden Gate Park, and I have for 12 years, and there's a lot of noise from those shows. You know, it's part of, in my opinion, just living in a city that has vibrant events, but maybe that's just me.
I'm just really excited for it to be back this year, and like Sin said, you know, it's great for the city, it's great for the neighborhood, and you know, looking forward to it this year.
All right, does anybody have what it takes to motion?
I motion to approve with staff recommendations.
I second.
Oh, you got scooped.
President Blyman.
Aye.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
Oh, and Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
That was an aye from Commissioner Schlander. For some reason, he whispered it. All right. Congratulations. That's been approved. And we can move on to the next application. I believe this is deputy director, right?
I'm sorry?
One letter?
Am I wrong?
What letter did you say?
C.
C for
Brixton. Yeah, you're right. I heard W. I said no. No, we're not. Okay. The next permit on our regular agenda is for a Jam to Bam LLP permit amendment to include outdoor amplified sound at the front of the business for the Brixton, located at 2140 Union Street. The Brixton played outdoor amplified sound to their patio patrons before outdoor programming was under the EC's purview, and then held a jam permit during the pandemic, and currently holds an extended duration one-time event permit to play pre-recorded music Thursday through Sunday 4 to 10 p.m. Now they are going through the permit amendment process so they can continue to play pre-recorded music under their LLP permit with the following days and times: Monday through Friday, 4 to 10 p.m., Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. As a general reminder about the Brixton's LLP permit, on June 4th, 2024, the commission voted to recondition their permit so that indoor entertainment is only allowed Friday and Saturday, 6 to 9 p.m. I'd like to note that they have received 5 sound complaints since the reconditioning went into effect, but inspectors have not observed any entertainment during their visits and determined that the complaints were likely due to another sound source in the area. For the LLP permit amendment tonight, the owner sent an outreach letter to all of his residential and commercial neighbors located within 150 feet of the business. We received one letter from a commercial neighbor who wanted more information about the permit. And after learning the scope, they indicated that they had no issue. And we also received one letter of opposition from nearby residential neighbors who are opposing the amendment outright. But I do want to note for the record something that is not in your file, because as of like 11:30 a.m. today, I did receive an email from the neighbors with the following request. And I'm just going to read the email into the record. We are comfortable with you formally suggesting the below. Generally, we are opposing their amendment to have outdoor music, but as a solution, we'd like to present the hours in line with our letter and achieve their alignment with their ABC permit restrictions, which is ending music at 6 p.m. outside. So they are requesting, the neighbors are requesting the following. Monday through Thursday, no outdoor amplified sound at all. Friday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. They'd also propose adding a clause that if there are no patrons seated outside or if there is inclement weather, i.e. rain, whereby dining outside is unfavorable, then outdoor music would not be permitted. Based on the letter that was submitted today, I did share this with the owner, and I think it would make sense for you all to have discourse with the owner, the applicant, tonight about this amendment request. He did put in writing to me that he does not agree with the suggestion, but I think there's an opportunity for you all to discuss that. And then I will just say that SFPD Northern Station had no added conditions. So please let me know if you have questions. I know that was a little ad hoc stuff came in really late today. So,
great. If you could just tell us a little bit about what you're planning on doing. I know it's similar to what you've been doing before, but just refresh us on what you've been doing before, and then we'll ask some questions.
Great. Basically, it's the same thing that we've been doing off and on for the past 15 years since we've been in business there. We opened up in 2010. We've had music playing outside on those speakers for the sidewalk before the parklets were allowed during the pandemic. And we just want to continue using those speakers to provide background music for our patrons and to attract customers.
Got it. Questions?
Can you clarify now, does your ABC permit, do you need to stop serving alcohol outdoors at 6 p.m.? Is that true?
That's actually inaccurate as well. The ABC, the copy that the ABC has was some sort of mix up because they changed the digital. I guess they moved from paper to digital right at the same time that we had gotten our permit, mm-hmm. our ABC permit. We applied for and got our conditions amended for a later time. I'm having a tough time getting that document. I reached out to my entertainment attorney, Mark Rennie, and Mark is trying to research it and trying to figure out where and where he can find those conditions.
Yeah, but the ABC has verbally told
they did.
You that
they did say. Okay. I actually called them as well, and they said that according to them, at the office, that those are the conditions. But we're still allowed to serve food, you know, up until almost any time, really.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, thanks for coming in. Just wondering, can you share with us why you were not in favor of the recommendation of a neighbor to not have entertainment when there's no diners outside or if it's just raining?
Sure. I'm open basically 6 days a week. From 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock Monday, or excuse me, 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 o'clock till 1:30 on Fridays. And I'm open from 11 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays, Saturday from 11 o'clock till 1:30 in the morning, and on Sundays from 11 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And I'd like to play music the whole time that I'm open.
Even when it's raining and there's nobody there to listen to the music?
Some people like to sit outside. It's kind of an interesting, the parklet's closed, has a covering. Some people like to sit out there, regardless of whether or not it's raining. You know, if it's pouring rain, of course not. And I'm okay with if it's pouring rain, but it's kind of hard to say, hey, if it's raining, is it drizzling? Is it raining? I can't really, it's kind of hard to control that.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a clarifying question? You said parklet, but this is not a parklet, right? You're talking about your sidewalk dining, outdoor dining area?
Yes, yes, but the parklet's directly in front of the sidewalk.
It's adjacent.
Adjacent to it, yes.
Speakers are outside. The parklet's outside.
Yeah, there's no speakers in the parklet whatsoever.
Okay, I just recall that you said you didn't have a parklet anymore.
No, no, we still do.
Okay, but the speakers are fixed to the front of the business.
Yes, they are. They've been fixed there since 1992.
Any further questions for the applicant? Okay, you can have a seat, Hugo, and we'll talk this over. So in the past, just a question for staff. In the past, obviously, Brixton has had some issues with the entertainment indoors. What's the latest been on them since the last time we saw them?
The reconditioning occurred in June of 2024. In speaking with the owner, with speaking with Hugo, my understanding is that they went dark with entertainment programming for the last 9 months. They did obtain a one-time indoor event permit this past weekend. So they went through the process, the correct channels to do that. Aside from that, there has been no substantiated violations of their permit conditions since the reconditioning.
Okay. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they've been doing this a long time. They're on a very busy street in a vibrant part of the city, and having music outdoors is great. I'm fairly certain that we put limits on how loud it can be, right? Meaning, and through the law that we follow, the code. So personally, I have absolutely no qualms of granting this with staff recommendations.
Right there with you.
I can make that motion to approve. Oh, wait, I should probably do public comment, shouldn't I? Wow, that would be smart. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, everyone who's waiting to public comment. That's my fault. I'm a little tired. We had St. Patrick's Day yesterday on Front Street. It was wild. I'm not myself. So let's open this up for public comment.
Okay. All right. We did have to see if this person's still here. Nope. There are no hands. Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. All right. Now it's changing again. Yes, we have 3 hands raised now.
All right.
So I'm going to start with Paige. I'm going to bring Paige in right now. So Paige, if you can hear us, please unmute yourself, and you have 3 minutes.
Are you able to hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. So we oppose the Brixton's request for an outdoor music permit. It is mentioned we're a neighborhood residential building. I'd say it is not unknown by this commission that the Brixton's has a history of being very unmindful to their neighbors, particularly around noise concerns, both with patron management, outdoor music, indoor music, which as part of their reconditioning of the permit, the indoor has improved, but we certainly are concerned with giving them any leeway given during the last 9 months. They have played amplified music outside. They have played amplified music from hours of set sometimes 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. We have had to engage with the business. We have had to ask them to turn music down regularly outdoors. I think generally a large concern for us is music played outdoors is often without patrons. They have limited eaters outside. I personally have never seen, for example, someone eating outside in the cold or in the rain, yet music will be playing from 11 a.m. to after 10 p.m. to an empty sidewalk. It's frankly excessive what they're proposing and beyond community standards. If you look at nearby businesses, be that Celeste or Casaro as restaurant examples on the street, they don't play music for that long. And it really affects, frankly, the residents who do work from home, who do have many things going on in their lives, who should be not disrupted by hearing Ariana Grande for 48 plus hours a week. It's just the mindfulness in line with the community standards, I think, of the business throughout the day. And we do agree with the proposal and propose that they should be ending their music at 6 p.m. in line with their ability to be serving alcohol to patrons outside. That is our understanding of their existing permit. And not playing music, particularly on Monday through Friday, during the workday hours. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. There are no other hands raised. Those other hands went down.
All right. I'm going to close public comment.
Oh, wait. Oh. It keeps changing. Okay. All
if
right.
If you're on Zoom, please leave your hand raised.
Yeah. If you're on Zoom, you want to More speak, please raise your hand. Yes. Mercedes, I'm going to bring you in right now. And please unmute yourself.
You
have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to reiterate, as a neighbor in the area, that we have had issues in the past with the limitations to the music at the Brixton, and the Brixton respecting what the regulations are. So I am very concerned, especially with these hours that they're proposing during the week. And I would like to see a response to what the neighbor proposal was, because that feels like a reasonable compromise. And I agree, I pass a lot of businesses on Union Street that I go to frequently, that I'm so grateful to see thriving after the pandemic. And there is not music on the sidewalk, certainly not during working hours and not until 10 p.m. during the week from other businesses that are restaurants and bars. And so I would just ask the committee to consider what the track record has been with the Brixton already with their limited permission at this time, and how they've respected that or how they have not, and what exactly they're proposing moving forward, because this doesn't feel like a compromise for the community.
Thank you, Mercedes. All right. And there are no hands raised.
All right, for real this time.
For real.
Closing public comment. All right, now let's discuss. Given that I skipped ahead, I'm not making that motion quite yet before we have a discussion.
I think that the hours seem fairly reasonable, and since, you know, that is already what has been happening. But I will say that I do hope that you honor that, you know, if there's nobody out there, that maybe that could be a time to turn it down or turn it off.
I agree. I think it's a really busy corridor. There are a lot of businesses. It's heavy commercial activity. I'm really encouraged by the fact that you've been in compliance with the limitations that we set last year. I would definitely encourage you, just from hearing the public comment, to just work on your relationship with your neighbors and reach out to them and try to get to a place where you guys can coordinate a little bit and figure out a way to get to some harmony in the neighborhood. But I'm supportive of approving this with the staff recommendations tonight.
Yeah, just on that note too, so I've had a bunch of bars, you've had a bunch of bars. One thing I've noticed, especially with outdoor sound, is that if you bring the speakers down and put them like in a lower area, you know, they don't need to blast as much. And there's some places that have been really effective with that. I wouldn't condition that by any means, but sometimes there's little changes you can make that that alleviate some of the pressure points for folks. Sometimes it's one speaker of the six or something that you just disconnect and nobody notices. But little things like that are often really helpful and can make a big difference. All right, with that, I am comfortable making a motion to approve with staff recommendations now. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay.
Okay. President Blyman.
Aye.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
All right. Congratulations. It's been approved. And we can move on to the next item, which is W. I mean,
D.
D.
The next permit on our regular agenda is for a place of entertainment change in ownership for Phono Bar, located at 370 Grove Street. As you likely know, Phono Bar's previous ownership team held a permit with our office for many years, first an LLP and then a POE permit. The new ownership team is maintaining the same business model. There'll be a restaurant and a bar with primarily DJ entertainment in the back room. They kept the same sound system, which the previous owner installed for high fidelity listening, and the space includes extensive sound attenuation. The staff recommendation below includes the existing sound limit for the space since no interior changes were made to the sound system. In addition to the indoor entertainment, this POE permit application also includes the ability to host outdoor amplified sound at the front of the business and in their parklets daily between 10 a.m. to 11 p.m., but shall not exceed 8 hours per day. As a reminder, the previous owner held a jam permit for similar outdoor operations. The applicant sent an outreach letter to their residential and commercial neighbors, notifying them of the change in ownership. And I did hear from one neighbor who had some concerns, specifically about the outdoor programming and the street noise caused from patrons leaving at the end of the night. The correspondence between the neighbor and Phono Bar, the Phono Bar team, are included in your file for review tonight. You'll see that the I sent an intro email between the neighbor to the owner, and there was an email exchange that is included for your review. And I also spoke with the owners about ensuring that the outdoor speakers are off by 11 p.m. if approved tonight, and to ensure that staff or security are moving patrons along at the end of the night or when they go outside to smoke. They acknowledge these requirements and are installing signage outside of the business and to remind folks to keep their voices down, and have created a phone number to contact the business in real time as outlined in the Good Neighbor policy. SFPD Northern Station had no added conditions for the application, and here to speak with you tonight is the new ownership team.
How are you doing, Commission? How you doing, President Ben?
How are you guys?
We have a couple slides if you guys are interested in seeing. It's nothing too fancy like this Portola review. My name is Henry Vasquez. I have with me Shahir Missive and David Zimmerman.
You can start on the first one.
They're just pictures, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Just photos, no PowerPoint presentation.
So per some of the requirements, both speaking to the community and Caitlin, we've put signage to kind of let people know to keep their voices down outside. We put ballistic windows in the parklet to kind of contain some of the sound. As Caitlin said, inside mitigation was pretty extensive. There's no bass in the front of the front room closest to the door. There's only subs in the back room. We're keeping doors closed. Trying to be the as best neighbors as we can, as well as shoving people along kind of on the golf side rather than on the Grove side when they're catching Ubers or leaving or what have you. Here we have kind of just some signage where a speaker was until we can put speakers up again. We kind of removed them
from the outside.
This is what it looked like pre. This is what they look like now, kind of more substantial windows to contain sound. This is pre, this is after. Again, it's a ballistic corrugated plexi, or not corrugated. So, they asked us to put some of the renovations we did in the space, a lot of wood and other things. We plan to put more wood in the space. It being a concrete structure under a parking garage, the sound can echo in there, so the more wood we put in, the more sound conditioning, the less noise levels. Some food, because it's yummy. Cocktail menus and such. A lot of what we're trying to push is more, they had a lot of house music and minimal techno and stuff in the previous. We're trying to increase the genres played, as well as our offerings on the cocktail side, on the food side, kind of just to create a more dynamic crowd, less, crazies at the end of the night. This is New Year's. A lot of the stuff we do is kind of dinner time playing. It doesn't get to a loud level, truly. We went and got some guard cards this weekend. And, yeah, just kind of doing the best we can to, you know, be nice to our neighbors while still trying to keep the ambiance, you know, that the place is known for.
Great. Questions?
Just want to say thank you for addressing that blight, you know, cleaning up that parklet. It does help with the neighborhood.
I agree.
You know, every business has their area of responsibility. And I encourage you just to reach out to the SF311 website, because that really helps out. Just every doorway helps out making the area look better.
Agree. Yeah, absolutely. We've been doing this for a while, and, you know, trying to, like, be as kind to our neighbors as possible is definitely the way we roll.
What was your role? Are you just brand new owners, or were you participating in management, or were you
all the above? Yeah.
Okay.
We're new owners, and we also operate.
He's owned a lot of bars.
Okay.
Mm. Right.
Are you keeping the hibiscus tacos on the menu?
That's right.
Okay.
Those are good. They're
good. No further questions.
The hard-hitting questions from the Entertainment
food is
Commission.
So good.
No, it's a really special space. Glad to see seasoned operators taking over and. Excited to see what you do with it.
That's why we took it over. We feel it's a very special space within the music community and stuff like that. So that's kind of what our interest in the space, and hope we can keep it alive.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. I've been there quite a bit. My partner DJ'd there a while ago. He had a night there. So
yeah, send him our way. Come back and hang out.
I really don't have a lot of concerns about the indoor entertainment. Have you had conversations? I know you sent an outreach letter to the neighbors. Do they have a phone number that they can call if they have issues? Do they have a good communication, a line of communication there?
Absolutely. It's posted on Google. You can see our phone number and reach out to us.
And sometimes people take the Instagram, too, and hit us up. We're pretty responsive there as well.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any further. Oh, sorry. There you are.
Hello, gentlemen. This is a change of ownership, right? But you guys, can you share with us your experience doing music from your other businesses?
We come from a diverse operation background. We used to have David Zimmerman and I, who's seated, used to run Cabin on Polk Street, Barrel Proof on 19th and Mission, Blackthorn on 9th and Irvin. All those spaces had, you know, some sort of DJ elements, cocktail bar. Some of them are very busy thoroughfares, but we're very used to crowd control and having lines and, you know, being very nice to our neighbors. And if someone had a concern, we operate. It's not like we're an owner that's not there. So usually people know us by name, and if they have concerns, they'll come speak to us directly.
All right. Thank you. And is it going to be mainly DJ music that you're going to offer? Are you going to do it live
in the evening as well? And during the day, it's just, you know, normal playlists and what have you.
But no plans for live music.
There may be a possibility where you know, just getting our boots into the space and stuff like that. But mainly we're focusing on DJs right now.
All right. And then does the DJ have control of the soundboard so they can control the how loud the music
Absolutely.
Is? Or do you guys control that?
We have limiters there. And we're operating every night and stuff like that. We have noise apps that have been provided to us that we use every night. And we on these pictures, we've also posted signs for the DJs and stuff like that to limit their sounds within our decibel range.
Basically like a little rule guide to, you know, don't increase the volume over a certain thing. You know, don't put drinks in certain places and what have you.
Is there a visible sound monitor too?
Yeah, there's in one of these photos, there's a visible sound monitor. I believe.
And you guys have that written with your agreement with the DJ that...
See right there where it says 89.7, that's a decibel meter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you, when you hire these DJs, you guys have that written...
Everybody's very well vetted before, and mainly because it's a very expensive sound system and stuff like that, so definitely professionals.
All right.
Most of them, we've been working together for years to come, just because it's a new space. They're still old relationships.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. No further questions for me, so you guys can have a seat and we'll talk this over. Let's open up for public comment. Anyone in the room? We'll start with the room. soon as he's done with his thumb drive. There it is. All right. Okay, nobody in the room?
Okay.
I could have sworn you were going to give public comment, but this is a total juke.
There are no hands raised on Zoom.
Okay, we'll close public comment. Do we hear motions, discussion?
I move to approve with staff recommendations.
Second.
President Blyman?
Aye.
Vice President Wong?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Aye.
Commissioner Perez?
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio?
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander?
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
All right, congratulations, you've been approved, and we can go to our final permit this evening, I believe.
Like on the record.
Which is letter E. Letter E.
Yes.
Okay.
Got it.
The final permit on our regular agenda is for a place of entertainment permit for H&K Peninsula, located at 3565 Geary Boulevard. H&K Peninsula is a dim sum restaurant with 8 private karaoke rooms. They are seeking the ability to host karaoke inside the private rooms and have live singing performances in the main dining room of the restaurant. The applicant conducted extensive neighborhood outreach using a mailing service to send out 175 letters in both English and in Chinese to the residential and commercial neighbors. There was no opposition for the permit, and I have included their 3 letters of support in your file tonight. SFPD Richmond Station had no added conditions, and here to speak with you tonight is the owner, Sam, represented by Stefano.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Stefano Castellotto, and I have the privilege of being with Yongsen Liu. We call him Sam. Sam took over the space at 3565 Geary Boulevard, and the cross is Stanion Street. Previously, it was Grand Hot Pot. He fixed the place up nice, put some nice tables in, brought in a really good chef, and it's a type 41 license, so it's only beer and wine. Historically, the place, I can go back 40 years when I went to USF, and it was Carlos and Pancho's, but it's had 47s, 48s. It's had good actors, bad actors. It's had everything in 40 years. When we went through our ABC for the 41, we had, of all things, 20 complaints. So we were like, why would they be complaining if it's a type 41 license? Well, those neighbors are seniors that live above, and they based their protests on what the actors were before we got there. So we invited everybody downstairs. We met with everybody, and we found them to be really, truly good neighbors. They had really good questions. We most of them were Chinese speakers, so we were fine with that because it's a Chinese-owned and operated space. They removed all the protests. While we were engaging, they also brought up, do we plan to have entertainment? And we said, we do. And they said, well, are you going to be good actor or bad actor type of thing? And we said, well, we're a family-run restaurant, as you can see. And we're going to be good actors. So we exchanged numbers, and we became friends with those people. And those people now are our customers. So we're pretty pleased that even though we got a little opposition early, we ended up making friends with our neighbors that live above us. And we're grateful for that. We did a mail out, like the Deputy Director Azevedo said, in English and in Chinese. We canvassed both sides of the street within a 150-foot radius, and we think that we're going to be a positive energy in that space. It needed some energy, and I think Sam and his crew are really, really polite. They're hospitable, and they welcome everyone to have some dim sum at lunch and Chinese food at dinner and some karaoke should somebody want to come in for that type of entertainment.
Hi, my name is Yong Sun Du. Actually, everybody calls Sam. Yeah, I'm the owner. Yeah, because my English is not really well, so Stefano is helping me a lot to explain what's going on, everything. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Questions for the operators?
Yeah. You have individual doors for the karaoke rooms or individual rooms?
They're individual rooms. The doors are unlocked, and there's windows for transparency. They were existing when we took the space over. So they had already met the requirements.
All right.
Is there going to be entertainment besides karaoke?
It's funny how you say that. I had my 60th birthday there, and I had a Tina Turner singer who went table to table, and the place was just incredible. We had a one-day permit to do that, and so on occasion, I think that might work too. But I don't see like live bands or anything like that because it's pretty much a dinner house.
Okay.
All right. I don't have any further questions, so you can have a seat. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Is there any public comment on this item?
Thank you.
Somebody here. Yes.
Evening, commissioners. My name is Hanley Chan, born and raised in San Francisco. San Francisco needs karaoke places like this. I think it's a good business. I'm a small business owner, too, so supporting the local and small businesses around this neighborhood. You know, lived in Sunset, West Side, and lived in the East Side, now back in the West Side. So I think, you know, this entertainment place of business is good for San Francisco, and I support this. Thank you.
Thank you.
So there are no hands raised on Zoom.
Are you sure?
One, two.
Here they come.
Counting down.
All right. We'll close public comment. Do we have motions?
Yep. So moved. Just like Hanley said, I think this place is good for San Francisco, so I move to approve with staff recommendations.
Second.
President Blyman.
Aye.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
All right, congratulations. Been approved. I'm going to come by and do some karaoke.
Also, the food looks very good. 4.9 stars.
I'm in. It's almost my hood.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Final is commissioner comments and questions. What do we got, everyone?
Shoot, I'm back to work. We got Sundays. We got wine bar. We got R&B.
Nice.
We got Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco.
On front. We got Halloween.
Halloween's
Christmas.
Coming up.
4th of July. That's it.
Belated happy St. Patrick's Day.
We did have a street closure on Front Street yesterday. No incidents, zero incidents, 6,500 people.
Yeah.
So much fun. They came out in a windy, almost somewhat rainy, but then sunny day. The wind was ripping and people were having such a good time. Every time that happens, it restores my faith in humanity for about 12 hours.
We did not have to cut anybody off yesterday at St. Mary's.
Nice.
I did.
We had to cut Ben off.
No. All right. Is there any public comment on our comments and questions?
No public comment.
Close. We'll adjourn this meeting at 6:49.